Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We're here today with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. The Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. Check them out at micromat.com. DVD-XDV, the software you need to pull content off a DVD MPEG 2. Bring it into QuickTime, Final Cut Pro, you name it. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. Our friends over at MCE Technologies, if you need to upgrade the SuperDrive in your PowerBook, your G3, your G4, your G5, or get a brand new smoking deal on a brand new PowerBook or an iPod, you can check them out at MCETech.com. And our media partners of Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information on all these great companies at InsideMacRadio.com. How you doing today, Brad?
Doing great, Scott.
Cool. We have a pretty cool lineup for everybody today. We're going to have Philip Hodges on later this hour talking about the Digital Production Buzz news of the week. After that, we're going to have Andy Shalv, the Mac Design Out of the Box author of Inside Mac Press, talking about his Mac Design Tip of the Week. Sam Levin's going to be calling in with his cool Mac picks. We're going to have Richard Harrington on from Future Media Concepts talking about the NAB Post-Production World Conference coming up here in about a month, a little over a month.
Wow.
A little over a month there in fabulous Las Vegas. We're going to talk to Richard about all the stuff going on with post-production world. Then in our second hour, we're going to have the legendary photographer Vincent Versace talking about what's going on with Vinny and all his cool things. We're going to have Peter Kern on doing some Mac music news update for the week. Brad and myself are going to talk about some chroma keying.
Yeah.
And what you need to do when you set stuff up.
Yes, chroma key is fantastic.
Chroma key goodies. And then we're going to have the legendary Colin Finley on. He is one of the Kingston icons of photography. We're talking to Colin about what's going on with him, and we got PMA coming up, so we sort of have a digital photo type
theme.
It's
a photo
today.
Show. Oh, yeah.
You know, the PMA show's coming up next week in Orlando. It starts actually Sunday this week.
Yes, this is a great show. I mean, this is where all the camera manufacturers are rolling out, and so it's a good time for us to be talking about photography.
There's a lot of stuff happening in the world of digital photography, and the PMA show is huge. It's in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
It runs Sunday through, I think, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Our buddy Derek Story is going to be down there
covering
some stuff. I'm going to have Alex here from Inside Mac will be at PMA.
Oh,
Alex,
she's so lucky.
She's so lucky.
That's fantastic.
I'll be in Seattle for Flash Forward.
Oh,
doing live coverage every day.
I bet you'd rather be in Orlando, though. I tell you. I mean, that's going to be a great conference, though. I mean, Flash Forward is going to be fantastic. There's going to be some cool stuff and a lot of support from Adobe coming onto that conference. That's fantastic. You know, I mean, it just looks like Flash, which is already a great program, is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And
plus, to put the whole thing to shame, everything, Apple's having a special private press-only event on February 28th. Next week, and I won't be there, but I think Brad's going to go.
I'm going to go there. Yeah,
we're going to see Brad.
I'm totally excited about that. I'm going to try to shoot some video, and so maybe we'll be able to roll some video up on Inside Mac TV after it's done.
Yeah,
and get some exclusive video footage.
There we go. So you're going to see exclusive coverage from Inside Mac at the Apple Town Hall Building 4 at the Cupertino Campus on February 28th at 10 a.m. We're going to have some fun new products, I think.
Oh, this is just great. I mean, Apple is just pulling out all the stops, and they are just going like gangbusters. I mean, they're holding nothing back. Obviously, the Intel platform is a huge hit for them. I mean, they are selling those things like hotcakes now. We'll just see what they got up their sleeve.
Yeah.
28th. That's just awesome. It's just amazing.
Special Apple media event. So,
yeah.
Very cool there.
So, on their campus.
Their special deal and at the town hall. That's building 4. So they have their own little auditorium there.
Yes.
It's very cool.
Yes. Really nice. I love that campus. I've been there so many times. It's like you're walking into the great church of Machood. You know, it's like a holy experience. You know, it's like some religious experience walking in there for the Macintosh.
They have good food in the Apple Cafe.
Oh, they have the best sushi.
Cafe Mac.
They have the best sushi chef there. They are just, the sushi is just to die for. It's
great. Like the Chinese chicken salad myself, but it's all good though.
Oh, it's all good.
Steve
definitely
revamped that deal when he came back.
Oh, yeah. He upgraded it big time.
Oh, yeah, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X, and the brand new cool hardware device, Protégé. Check them out at micromat.com. Right now we have Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
I am terrific, Scott, and I thought I'd like to start off with something free, because people like free.
Free is that good.
Free is good, yes. I'm not sure about the business model, but free is good. Bandmate Loops, exactly as it sounds, have got another set of loops for their members, and membership is free and relatively painless, as these registration systems can be. And they've got some something to keep you in the Mardi Gras mood with a new Southern Blues Jam kit. So if you want to get some drum and bass and fill it out with guitars, harmonica, and all that stuff, you can get that at bandmateloops.com for free. And you can go back and get all of the other free previous monthly loops free once you sign up as a member. So that's cool.
That is nice. Free loops are cool.
Yeah.
Not free. But coming up this week from Monday, Tool Farm, who are one of the places you can go to get just pretty much every After Effects plugin for Mac or something else, you can get half off selected plugins this week. Now, you've got to check it out on the day because it's only available in the 1-24 period and it's only one pack, but things like 2D3 from Bijou is available, Revision, Effects Plus, Production Plus, LVs, Image Modeler, you know, one of these great plugins, and most of them fairly expensive plugins, can be found one half off for just one day each day this week.
That's a good deal because some of these plugins are $300, $400, $500, $600 a piece.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
So from February 27th to March the 10th, you can get one day, and that's it, one day only.
Wow. Do they make these plugins as well? I mean, this is the kind
of... No, they're just an aggregator and reseller. They've got a whole lot of great tutorials on the site. This is like a one-stop shop for After Effects add-ons.
Wow, you have to go. I mean, that's really great. That's a heck of a deal. Time to load up.
yeah, they do this from time to time, and we like to keep people in touch of when they can get a bargain. And, of course, this week, LifetypeCentral.com return. Now, Lifetype Central is set up similarly to extend 12-inch design skills for Lifetype, and they went off air for a while because they found they couldn't provide the right sort of experience for everybody. But they're back. My only slightest pet peeve is that you do need Flash 8 because they chose to use Flash 8 for the movies. Not the Flash website, just for the movie, because it's the most compatible, they found. They've got these three terrific add-on packs for Lifetype that each one will double the amount that you've already got for Lifetype. So as much as you've got from Apple, again, you get new live fonts, backgrounds, textures, animations, and templates from them. And they're only $299.95 or $300 per pack. But the real value, actually, that's not the real value. That is the real value because that's the combo pack. Each of the packs costs $150. They can get basically three for the price of two if you go for the combo.
That's a good deal. That's cool stuff there. I mean, Lifetype Central was cool, but I've looked at the new site and it's nice.
Very, very nice. We had Nicholas Knapp from Lifetype Central on the Digital Production Buzz last Thursday night. And you can check that out in our archive.
That's good. Now, you have a story here about an NAB one about Panasonic's got more P2 gear on a higher level even than the HDX200.
Yep, they've got an HPC 2000. See, that's high level in 200. It's a 2000.
Wow. What is
10
this?
10 times the 200.
Oh, yeah. It's three 230-inch CCDs, 14-bit analog digital processing, 720p, 1080 AI.
Whoa, slow down. We're not getting all of this.
No, and what's the model number of this new camera?
It's the AG HPC 2000.
HPC 2000. This is a shoulder camera.
What's the size of the CCDs on this?
It's a 230-inch CCD.
Oh, yeah, that's great, because you get a little more shallower depth of field, a little better lens, a lot of the things improve when you go to that big, because right now they're just, you know, one-third, which are really small sensors, and going to two-third is more of been like the industry standard size sensors for the bigger cameras.
Exactly, and it's got all of the pro gear that you want. It's going to have 5 E2 card slots, not that you can afford to fill them, but maybe you can.
More expensive than the camera itself.
Exactly. They dropped. The 8 gig cards are now $1,400, so that's about 11,500 to fill them up. And the camera is expected to be just under 30,000, somewhere between a little bit more than the Sony HDCam, which is 26,000, so 26, 27, something like that. What you're seeing
is just a really a big, gigantic, well, you know, I mean, these used to be $100,000 cameras. Now we're seeing them, these things just drive down into the $20,000 or $30,000 price range. I mean, they're really pushing the market down in prices.
Exactly. And they're going to drop the price. They haven't said exactly how much, well, I haven't found it yet, of the SDX 900, which is an exceptionally good standard def camera. It's been very highly regarded. They said at this meeting that they are going to consider DVC Pro 50 to be more like DV25 product range.
Well, I think they would have to. I mean, why would you still be using standard def if you can get HD?
Exactly.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And they're doing a field recorder and a pro theater recorder to go with all of this, and a huge new monitor. If you're looking for a big, big monitor, they're going to have a 26 LCD monitor just under $5,000, and their booth at NAB will be CRT-free.
Oh, see, I like CRT. I can't get colors to work right on an LCD. There's just no LCD out there that does color right. CRTs just do colors effortlessly, and LCDs are just really, really a pain to get true, accurate levels of colors.
I'm actually waiting for the new technology from Canon and Toshiba. I forget the exact name of the technology, but it's basically each pixel is a mini CRT, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the direction that you have to go in. I don't think that we can completely eliminate CRTs from the broadcast market. It's just they're the only thing that does color right.
There is one company that's making a CRT with add-ons specifically for color correction. It's a fairly expensive tool, but I random access memory to get it back there on time. I haven't indexed my brain on Google, unfortunately. And also, this week, WonderTouch introduced a new emitter library for particle illusion.
Really?
You get some great new pro emitters, and the things that you can do with particles is incredible. You can check them out at wondertouch.com. Pro emitters is where you'll find them. Backgrounds, graphic distortions, glass breaking, all this cool stuff you can do with emitters.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they have great stuff. Remember, we interviewed those guys at, I don't know where we were, NAB or Seagraph or somewhere.
I think we were at Seagraph with that one, yeah.
Yeah, those guys make some nice stuff.
We're going to have them back on our show on March the 2nd to talk about these pro emitters and what's happening in the world of WonderTouch. And, of course, our friends at Decklink didn't leave the week untouched, and they released a new HD Pro PCI Express card, 444, 12-bit, 14-bit analog monitoring, all of the good stuff that works with Final Cut Pro and with some other stuff as well on another platform. We don't care about those.
No, we don't. But, hey, and there's also news coming from AJ. I was on a talk with Ted Chilwich yesterday.
Ted.
Big things coming at NAB.
Oh, that's great.
But, of course, the thing I love is these two companies keep making better and better products at cheaper and cheaper prices. Keep it on, guys. Keep the feud going.
It's great. Isn't it great to have, like, isn't it great that all of a sudden HD is so much more affordable now and we can all afford to do HD?
Indeed. Indeed we can.
That's it. $50,000 you can get rolling in a full-blown HD, right?
You know? Yeah, and have change for vacation.
Yeah, cool stuff. Hey, Philip, thank you very much. That was Philip Hodges. You can check out his gig at digitalproductionbuzz.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Andy Shallett, Mac Design Out of the Box Tip of the Week.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know. And always first, MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you want to take cool content off your DVDs, that's MPEG-2 and bring it into Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Express, DVD Studio Pro, you name it, you need it. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. Right now we're here with Andrew Shallett. Andrew is the Inside Mac Press, author of the Mac Design Out of the Box, and Andy's got some tips today about working with color and photographs. How are we doing, Andrew?
Very good. I'm just getting over a little laryngitis, so you'll have to excuse me.
No worries, mate. Okay. We're lucky if we can talk at all. Never mind.
I was working on a website for a client just the other day, and we had some portraits that we had to put up there. And they were your standard portraits taken with one of our, you know, one of those small cameras. And the color was great and everything, but they weren't really effective. So I started thinking about ways that I could make these photographs stand out. And one of the counterintuitive things that we can do as designers when we're working with photos, even if you think that, you know, they're just standard snapshots, to make them more effective, sometimes you can play with the color. And I don't mean necessarily increasing the color, but you can actually take color away from something and make it really pop. It's strange. It's the way that it sits against the background, or just the way that it affects the tone of or the mood of a photograph.
So you're talking about desaturating, like removing some of the color?
Or... That's the word. Ah. Oh, you're very good, Brad.
Desaturate.
Very good. Yes, exactly. So sometimes you've got a regular photograph, and we can do this without Photoshop. You know, in Photoshop, when we were doing print, we used to do it with under the mode menu. You would go under and you'd find a duotone. You'd convert everything to grayscale, and then you can make a duotone, which was the essentially working with inks, because that was what Photoshop was originally for. But since we're working with the web a lot more, we can do this all pretty much in iPhoto, because the iPhoto new controls are great for doing that. They give you great saturation, they give you hue, and they give you temperature controls. So if you have, for instance, iPhoto, they also have that effects palette, where you can actually just, with one snap, make something black and white. So if you were to make something black and white, you've got a color photo, for instance, make it black and white really quick, and then you can start playing with colorizing it, essentially, through the hue and tone and temperature. That's one thing. But the other thing is exactly what you were saying. If you have a nice, normal color photograph, just desaturate it to like 23% and see what happens.
Oh, man, I never thought of that. That's...
It's not like a sepia. Sepia is a nice trick for making things look like they're old photos. You know, everybody does that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just try desaturating it. You know, if you're good in Photoshop, you can do it with like just one particular color. So you can suck out all the red, make it just, you know, a little bit of a bluish thing or something like that. But play with that a little bit, and you'll find that your photographs, what essentially ordinary photographs, all of a sudden, they become really cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you could definitely add some cool effects to it, like you said. So when you're playing around in Photoshop and you start playing with sliders and throwing stuff back and forth.
And the new iPhoto is just... Oh, it is so much better than anything they've ever done in the past.
Unbelievable, and it's just, like you say, it's out of the box. That's the great part. The other thing is, if you do step up and get into Photoshop, you can also do great colorization and paint in colors on black and whites. But I think that's for another day. But I could teach you how to do that pretty quickly, too, with your color brush and your color mode and just paint in colors. You'd be amazed at how you can take an old black and white photo and make it look color.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, that's how they used to colorize
one part of it.
Yeah,
because everything else is black and white, but that's color.
Yeah, that's how they used to colorize photos. They would go in and they would paint colors into black and whites before they had color photography, and you can get that same kind of effect. That's nice.
Precisely. And for the web, it's great because you can really pop colors more than you can with inks when you're doing print. So a lot of print designers know about this stuff from duotone and tritone and quad tone, which is really, you're saying that you're taking a black and white photo and you're putting those specific four inks on top of it. But you don't have to do that anymore. As I said, just iPhoto is beautiful for this. And those controls for saturation, hue, and temperature are fantastic fun. I would suggest playing with them. And like I say, the easiest one, just desaturate some of your photographs. And all of a sudden, they get this drama.
Cool. Thank you, Andrew. That was Andrew Shallop. That was his Mac Design Tip of the Week. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you need to get a brand new PowerBook, a new iPod, an upgrade for that super drive in your PowerBook, your G3, your G4, your G5, or a smoking dual air one, check them out, mcetech.com. Right now we're joined by Sam Levin. Sam is here with his cool Mac picks for the week. How you doing, Sammy?
Oh, fantastic. Lots of great stuff. And today we've got some fun stuff, like usual, Scott. A company that's been around for quite a while doing mobile and keyboard accessories has now come out with a speaker for MP3s and, of course, iPods called the Boom Tube. Now, the company is called Think Outside, just like it's spelled, Think Outside. Go to their site, thinkoutside.com, and they've got a new product called the Boom Tube. Basically, it's a cylindrical tube. It's made of this really, really fine aluminum, kind of, I don't know if you call it polished or anodized aluminum. I would say it's brushed. And this thing is built like a tank. This isn't some, you know, a bunch of plastic parts put together and some cheap old speakers. It's got some serious heft to it. And what I like about it, Scott, is that you can pull apart the ends, and they're like, you know, a tube. You pull apart the ends, and those become the speakers. So you can position them anywhere on your bookshelf, your desk, your wall. Really, really well done. It connects to any iPod because all you need is an audio jack. So you don't need any special connector. So if you've got a CD player, you want to travel, and someone doesn't have an iPod, and they have, oh my God, that thing called the Zen or whatever they call it these days, you can connect it. And it's really nice. It retails for $249.95. It's available today from thinkoutside.com. Now, what's great to pair with something like this? Well, a travel bag. And what I recommend is to throw it in a Timbuktu commute. And you know Timbuktu. They're a great bag company out of San Francisco.
Sure.
They make a Commute XL bag that the Boom Tube would fit into, as well as your PowerBook. And they have a whole new line of bags for women now from Timbuktu. The Luna, the Trackpack, a number of different backpacks specifically designed for women and short torso or even kids. So if you guys want, check out Timbuktu. That's Timbuktu.com, and it's spelled T-I-M-B-U-K-T-2.com for all your cool bag needs and fun accessories, and you can throw your Boom Tube inside of it as well. So those are kind of the fun things that we got going, a lot more bag stuff. And of course, February 28th, there's some new announcement from Apple that you and I will be attending, right?
I won't be there. I'm going to be at Flash Forward, and everybody else is going to be at PMA, but Brad's going to be going with you.
I'll be there. I'll be there for the new announcement. What do you think it's going to be, guys?
Who knows?
Who knows? We speculate.
It's like Christmas morning. I want to see what the surprise is.
Brad and I will bring back live pictures.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. It's always cool stuff with Apple. This is going to be a especially good one. It's at their Cupertino Town Hall campus, so this is fun stuff. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. That was Sam Levin. Thanks, Sammy.
Thank you.
Sam with his cool Mac picks. Next up here in the program, we are going to have on Richard Harrington. Richard is the conference chair for Post-Production World coming up here at NAB in April. So we're going to talk to Richard about all the cool things going on with Post-Production World 2006. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listened online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Call. Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you want to find the coolest stuff for creative tips, information, forums, you name it, everything for the creative professional, check it out at creativepro.com. Right now we have Richard Harrington. Richard is the conference chairperson for the National Association of Broadcasters Post-Production World Conference, brought to you in association with NAB and Future Media Concepts. How you doing, Richard?
Good. How are you?
Good. So tell us. We have a big, big, big show coming up here in, about 6 weeks now? 8 weeks? I don't know how long it is.
Starts April 21st. I'm so fried I can't do math these days, but that sounds about right.
Guess what? It's too close, actually.
It's just, I mean, especially if you're doing so much for that conference, it is just like the clock is ticking. Ugh.
You guys want me to hang up and go back to work?
No, stay with us, man. I shouldn't have said that. I brought
especially
reality
you're
back.
You're so buried these days with all the stuff going on with Richard. Now, Richard's also the CEO of Red Pixel, so besides doing all the stuff with NAB and the conferences and FMC, he has a full-blown post-production business that he's running. So you're a bit busy these days, eh, mate?
Yep. Keeping busy.
So let's talk about Post-Production World.
Sure.
This is a huge conference that's been put on in association with NAB and FMC.
Yep.
Tell us about Post-Production World.
Sure. It's a great conference that's targeted to those people working in both post and production. So, the finishing side of video as well as the field side. And it addresses really all of the skills related to that. So it's built around software, but also general category skills. So, you'll have specific tracks that, say, address video editing, and there'll be classes whether you're using Avid or Final Cut Pro or Premiere Pro. So all of those programs are covered. But then you also have classes that cover things like high-definition strategies or specific HD cameras. So it tackles both software-specific skills and broader skills with a particular focus on moving towards high-def and 24p production, as well as internet distribution through things like video streaming and podcasting.
Interesting. Now, how much stuff do you guys actually touch on? Let's start off with production. Now,
sure.
At previous conferences, I know you've had sessions on lighting. Tell us about the stuff that's actually part of the pre-production or what you call production element of it.
Sure. There are 6 days of field production classes, so it starts all the way back.
Six days.
Yeah. So, yes, some people have the luxury of going to college and taking classes, but, if you're newer to the industry or, maybe you used to just work in post-production, but now you work at a smaller company or started your own shop and you want to feel more confident, there's everything as far as production goes. So, the digital video production will start out on Friday, and it's going to focus a lot on both HDV, understanding the HDV format, and then also taking a look at, and it will also take a look at doing things such as lighting and getting good audio. And then it carries through with all sorts of sessions, everything from understanding how to do camera rigs to selecting a tripod to specific classes on the latest HD cameras, the solutions from Canon and JVC, Panasonic and Sony. So all sorts of things as far as field production goes, lighting, green screen techniques, audio techniques, makeup, directing, really everything that happens in the field. When you've got 6 days and, on some days, 5 classes happening a day, you really get the opportunity to cover quite a bit. And that's the same with all the tracks. We have, 6 days of Final Cut Studio training, 6 days of After Effects training, and then several of the other topics will have training classes on maybe 1 day, 2 day, 4 days. It just depends on the demand. We build the program based on feedback and what's happening in the industry.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like you said, the production, you have a full session just on lighting for green screen.
Yeah.
Great stuff there. That's something that people need to know about if they're going to do any kind of this work. And it's nice that you can actually sit down and spend, an hour and 15 minutes learning how to correctly light a green screen.
Well, of course. And the other great thing about it is that the better you do production, the less post-production you have to do.
Exactly. People often say, we'll fix it in post. And being someone that's worked a lot in post, that's the last thing you want to hear. It's always nice when things come in sounding good and looking good. And sure, there are things that you can enhance in post. You can really do some artistic color correction or, really start to mix in sound effects and get a good mix with the music bed. But the less you have to fix bad microphone techniques, bad lighting, the more you can focus on making it better as opposed to just making it usable. So, you know, it's a nice variety. And there's all sorts of other things going on. We even have, you know, career track sessions to help people with, you know, learning about how to put together a good demo reel or put together a proposal. My favorite thing is we have these sessions called in-depth. So instead of just, you know, an hour and 15-minute class where, you know, it's targeted towards people who want to learn something really specific, in-depth just goes right into a higher-end application and opens up things. So, you know, we've got things like compositing in-depth, or, you know, mastering expressions with Adobe After Effects, the sort of thing you just can't learn in an hour. And so here, you know, these classes are particularly targeted at the advanced user who really wants to learn that one thing that they really feel that they can't grasp. Those are really good classes for advanced people.
Yeah, I mean, even there's ones like, here's a, it looks like a, I don't know, 2.5 hour, 3 hour block of getting the most from your Canon XL-H1.
Yeah, and we have that for other HD cameras as well. We've got that for the HVX 200. We've also got that for the two Sony HD cameras and the JVC model. So, you know, we looked at what's happening in the industry, and that's what this conference really is. It's, you know, top instructors tapping all sorts of experts and giving you access to them. And, you know, the biggest complaint we always hear at the conference is, I want to be here and here. You know, you've got sometimes up to 10 choices of where to be. So, you know, we really encourage people when they register to sit down with the program grid online, read through the descriptions, because there's great detailed descriptions about what this class covers and who it's for and, you know, what you'll get out of this class. And then just plan. You know, I've seen people get so much out of these classes. We've had people come back year after year. You know, we're going into our third year of running this at this point. Every year it's been growing, so we've been very happy with it.
Last week we had, or was it week before, we had a guy from NAB, and he was saying the exact same thing. He was the technology.
John Marino.
And he was saying the exact same thing about, you know, the training that you guys do, that it basically, people are just ecstatic about it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's lots of conferences, and I attend other conferences, and I speak at conferences. For the video industry, the conference is NAB. There's just no way around that. I mean, you know, you get anywhere, you know, approximately 100,000 people from the world coming together in Las Vegas to look at all the latest technology, all of the new big announcements come out here, see everything. Now, you know, a lot of those people are there to sell and buy things and network and, you know, look at the latest innovation. You know, not nearly that number are going into training, but we're capturing a large percentage of that coming into the training conferences because they realize, you know, if you want to compete in this industry, you want to have a longer future. School doesn't stop when you graduate from college or high school. You know, there's so much changing in this industry. I mean, you know, people always are amazed when I tell them, like, oh, you're writing books, you're so busy. It's like, yeah, I'm reading books and I'm taking classes too, because if I didn't, I'd get passed by.
Oh, yeah, the world doesn't stop.
You know, Richard, I think with the way the software evolves and everything's going, I mean, is it really effective to take this stuff in a structured college environment or even, you know, anything like that? Because it changes so fast. Aren't you better off going to stuff like NAB or maybe going to FMC training or something of this sort because you're going to get what you need to learn right now?
Well, I think the college experience is still important for a lot of folks. I do actually teach as an adjunct professor at two schools. And I think that, you know, someone who has never gone to college needs to go to college because you learn a lot in college. You learn how to be away from your folks. You learn how to be responsible for yourself. You learn important skills about writing and expressing your ideas and organizing your thoughts. And, you know, that's the biggest part of college. You know, when I look back, you know, when I went through college, nonlinear editing didn't exist. You know, we were doing computer graphics on a video toaster.
Right.
And Lightwave was on version 1.
So, oh, wow.
You know, a lot of things have changed since I graduated school, but I learned how to edit video in school. I learned how to think. I learned how to tell a story and refine my producing ability. So, you know, those non-software specific skills come from college and come from experience and mentoring and apprenticeships and internships and that sort of thing. But when it comes down to the hardcore technical, you know, I encourage a lot of people, if you're a working pro and, you know, you have a college degree or some advanced education and you just really want to get brushed up, you know, I think going to a week-long intense, and you don't have to go to the whole week. You can come to just the weekend or you can come to just the weekdays. But, you know, I think taking a couple of days to submerge yourself in a conference, whether it be this one or DV Expo, any sort of conference experience, you can really get in and learn a lot quickly. And
yeah,
if you're a working pro, that's what you need. You need
to get in,
get the info, and get out. And to be honest, there's no conference this big with this many choices and this many topics in the world.
Yeah,
it's daunting.
I think it's absolutely right. I mean, if you're basically going to be competitive out there and you're going to win jobs and you're a guy that's working, you have to stay up on things.
Oh, yeah, I'm sending folks from my shop just to go go to some of the classes. You know, it's like, yeah, we need to know more about podcasting. Yeah, go to that class on proposals. You know, we're getting into HD. Yes, we've done, you know, six HD projects, but, you know, I want to really understand this better. Go to these classes, and I'm going to be in some of them myself for the same reason.
Hey, Richard, we got about 20 seconds. We can find more information at
nabshow.com, and cool. You just click on conferences, and within that, you will see a link that says Post-Production World, as well as the related podcasting conference.
Cool. Thank you. That was Richard Harrington. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production. Post-production. Distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you need to get software updates for your Macintosh? Get them quick, get them fast. Don't want to deal with a bunch of ads, a bunch of BS. Check them out, macupdate.com. So yeah, NAB is going to be a very interesting, it's going to be fun. I think it's the best show of the year for anything. I mean, that's personally my ideal because...
Yeah, I think that if you haven't, if you are in the industry at all and you haven't been to NAB, you have to go to NAB. If you've never been there before, you just have to see it. I think once you get a chance to see just the breadth and the huge amount of these classes, of course, are great, but just the enormous amount of vendors that are out there just covering just about every aspect of production, post-production, and multimedia out there, you would get, people will get a lot of information and a lot of solutions out there for their business by going to NAB. If you're all involved, even if you're a consumer, it's just a great thing to see for if you've never seen it before. It's worth it to get out to Vegas.
Yeah,
and go see it.
Yeah, I mean, if you have anything, like you said, anything to do with any kind of media, it's the place to be.
It really is fantastic. I mean, it's a huge show. You have to target when you get there because you will not get through everything. I mean, it just is amazingly big, and it's something that you can go and you can get your hands on some of the stuff that you would never see otherwise. I mean, you never get a chance to see what these cameras can do. You never get a chance to see some of these solutions, get hands on and see them. I mean, Apple has this enormous booth where they just basically cover just about every technology that, you know, every type of software that they have set up. You get your hands on, you can play with it. It is really fabulous. I mean, you just have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, and I mean, the full Post-Production World Conference, if you register by April 19th, it's only $7.95.
That's incredibly cheap.
Considering
that's incredibly
other conferences
cheap.
That go on
I
that
know.
Are $1,500.
Oh, Macworld, any of these conferences, I mean, you basically, it's an arm and a leg. $7.95, it just seems like a bargain. I mean, especially for the in-depth that they're going into. When they're
if
talking...
you're a student, it's $225. There's no excuse not to go.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, you have to go get a hotel room, though, now. I mean, that's probably going to be your biggest expense right now, unless you stay at Whiskey Pete's and drive in every morning.
You know, 20 bucks at Whiskey Pete's or even 40, you know, it's a nice little drive. It takes about a half hour.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's no internet there, though.
Oh.
So if you need to check emails, so if you bet, you need to buy yourself one of those EVDO
oh, those
you know,
are
PC
great.
Cards.
Yeah.
But, you know, what about the, here's the deal. What if you have one of the new MacBook? They don't make little miniature cards.
Oh, no.
That's the problem with that new laptop.
Maybe there's a USB adapter for one of those things.
No USB because it's a PC card. It's full 32-bit bus. No one's got miniature little cards.
They got to come with a USB device.
Why did they put that in there? I don't understand that. There's nothing available for that little card slot.
Well, it's a new service, and I think that as it grows, there will be new devices that'll be available.
A laptop now with an unusable port.
Yeah, but you just have to wait. I mean, I know they did this for a good reason, and I'm not familiar with the technology itself, but I mean, it really, like this EVDO and some of these things, it's just going to be, you know, a matter of time before they start supporting USB or something, or, you know, that you can...
Oh, they'll have a card for it, but of course it won't have Mac support for like another 2 or 3 years. Oh, well.
I think that's changing because you know what? Macs are starting to really take off. I mean, they're starting to grab more and more market share. So I think that lots of, when you're seeing like, you know, Lotus Notes start coming out for the Mac and some of these things, I mean, that are starting to get more and more interest. I mean, it's changing. The dynamics are very much changing.
Yeah, I still don't understand the little teeny slot, but you know, I'm not paid to think. So, you know, I'm not the visionary like Jonathan Ives is or someone else that designed this.
We got to get him on the show.
You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. Next hour, we're going to have Vincent Versace, Peter Kern, Colin Finley, a full digital photography roundup coming up here for PMA next week in beautiful Orlando, Florida. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Linda Weinman, the founder of Lynda.com, LYNDA.com, and the producer of the Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival, which is happening February 27th through March 2nd in Seattle, Washington at the Washington Convention and Trade Center. The conference has been in existence for 6 years and has had over 20,000 attendees during that time. Adobe is the platinum sponsor of the event this year, and the Seattle show marks the first public event since the Adobe acquisition of Macromedia was finalized. Kevin Lynch, Senior Vice President and Chief Software Architect of the Platform Business Unit, will be delivering the keynote at Flash Forward. As well, Adobe has created an Adobe Technology Room where you'll get to meet with the Flash, with the After Effects, and the Audition development teams. If you're interested in learning about Flash video, you'll find all-day workshops covering everything from codecs to bitrates. For those animators who use Flash, be inspired by the founder of JibJab, the Chapman brothers who created Homestar Runner, and the team from Hallmark Cards that makes stories for Hoops and Yo-Yo characters. If you're interested in creating games, we have sessions that deconstruct the Nintendogs website and sessions on creating your first game and gaming logic. For those who are into motion graphics, we'll be celebrating 10 years of ResFest with founder Jonathan Wells, showcasing work from Digital Kitchen and Jacob Trollbeck. Or perhaps you're interested in an all-day workshop on Flex 2 and ActionScript 3, or you still can't wrap your head around ActionScript and want to take a workshop on that. We have legends speaking like Larry Lessig on digital rights and Creative Commons, April Griman, one of the premier graphic artists in the world. Our International Film Festival showcases the best Flash work on the web today. Our sponsors and exhibit hall bring the best tools out there for the Flash developer and designer. Check out our program at www.flashforwardconference.com. If you do decide to join us, which I hope you will, take $100 off the price by entering Inside Mac for 3 and 4 day passes. If you want to immerse yourself in Flash, learn about the future plans, meet the top developers and designers in the world, the Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival is the place to be.
You are Inside Mac. Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and today we're covering all kinds of great stuff. We've been talking about FMC, Future Media Concepts, involvement with the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, Post-Production World 2006, the biggest and baddest conference known to mankind in the known universe for post and post-pre-production.
The mother of all conventions.
And a smoking deal, too, I might add, compared to other gigs.
Oh, yeah. $800 and you're there? $225 if you're a student?
Yeah, and you can go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 7-day conference.
That's
less than $100 a day.
Less than $100 a day.
Yeah, and if you break that into a deal, that's less than, $20 an hour for training?
That's unheard of. I mean, that's just unbelievable. And this is really good in-depth training. And everybody that's everybody's just been raving about how good this is. So have to go. You really have to sign up and go.
And then this week also, we were alerted by Apple. There's a media event going down at the Apple campus on next week on, Tuesday, the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Brad will be there.
I'll be there. Yeah, we'll be shooting some videos. Sam will be there. He'll be taking some pictures. It sounds like this looks like it. You know, normally Apple does a nice graphic and everything. This seems like they just decided to come out with this stuff. They just started to bring it in.
You never know. They have so many things in the pipeline that Steve can fire away that warhead at any time.
That's right. I mean, this is a company that just basically is so innovative and is so far ahead. They have products sitting in the pipeline that they basically, it's like just these little quivers of arrows in their quiver that they can just shoot out, that basically they can just pull out of a hat and just say, here it is, it's available now. I mean, you almost get the effect that they just have so much up their sleeve that you just never know what they're going to come up with next.
No. So it'll be interesting to see. It's like Christmas. Wait for the goodies to come.
Yeah, it was just Macworld. Wasn't it just Macworld a month ago? Wait, you know, isn't it just
sure
like,
seemed like it.
Wasn't that long ago? I mean, it's this is great. This is incredible. I mean, we just, I guess when you're living in the Macworld, there's just excitement all year round. You know, I mean, just you never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's really good. I just hope it's not new iPods, because that means I gotta go out and buy another iPod, and I've bought like five of them.
Your wife's gonna get you on that one.
Oh, she is. It's like, hey, guess what I gotta get? But it's business, so that's the way it goes. You know, nothing you can do about it.
Very cool stuff. You gotta love the Mac industry. You know, there's always something happening, hopping.
It's amazingly exciting time. I mean, for years, you know, there was not much new coming out, and it was kind of slow. But it just seems like now this is just innovation. You know, this company is running on all cylinders. I mean, they are just pumping out technology and pumping out new innovation. They have a great research and development team. They are coming up with products that I think are just amazing. I mean, this is really a very exciting time if you're on the Macintosh. I mean, I think this is better than any other time I can ever remember. I mean, it's fantastic.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a good time. And we have some cool stuff lined up here for the rest of the show.
We do. This is photography. This is the Photography Day show.
Yeah, PMA is coming up here next week.
Yeah.
Also, Flash Forward. So I'll be at Flash Forward all next week, covering it daily. So there'll be daily reports on Inside Mac Radio for the Flash Forward conference. So,
yes.
A lot of cool stuff happened there now that Adobe's all involved with that deal. So they're doing a big two-day track at Flash Forward. And it's got record attendance, registration so far. It's going to be big.
Oh, it's going to be big. I think Flash that's another conference you have to see. There's so many good things going on now that it's just, where can you spend all of your time? This Flash Forward just looks fantastic. I mean, Flash, already a great technology, just getting better with Adobe, getting behind it and putting all of their efforts into this new platform. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is cool stuff. So coming up here, next segment, we're going to have Vincent Versace on, talking about what's going on with Vincent and all the cool things happening. Later on, we're going to have Peter Kern giving us our Mac music update for the week. We're going to talk about some chroma key, and we're going to have Colin Finley on, Kingston Icon of Photography. So check that out. You're here with Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check them out Thursday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. live at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now, we're joined by a buddy of mine, Vincent Versace. How you doing, Vincent?
Oh, can't complain. Life is good.
So tell us, you got a bunch of stuff going on. Is Vincent going to go to PMA this next week?
Yeah, I'm going to go to PMA. It's like I'm the mayor. It's like, yeah, I haven't missed a PMA in 20 years.
So what's Vincent doing at PMA? Are you going to be in any booths? You talking, doing any signings? What's going on?
Talking at Great Tag Macbeth about color theory, and I'll be talking about genuine fractals at the On1 software booth, about how I use that to create my content.
Now, very cool. Now, let's talk about color theory. You have a brand new book coming out that deals a lot with color theory.
I have a brand new book that deals a lot with why to do stuff called Welcome to Oz. That's coming out mid-April, if everything goes according to plan. I'm in basically edit deadline hell.
Oh, don't man. You love doing books?
No comment.
But who else is going to do them? I mean, you're the man. I mean, who else is going to be able to do some of this stuff? I mean, that's really, you're the only guy that can really talk about it. You're the king of natural light and all of these techniques. I mean, you're the guy to do it.
Well, I figured what I would do is I'm going to write about what it is that goes through my mind when I create stuff, and, you know, give lessons of all the images that were the epiphany images where I came up with an idea that now is part of my workflow or part of the way I create content. So I just figured doing a why-to book instead of a how-to book was a better idea, because there are lots of books of answers, but very few books of questions. So that's what this book is.
Now,
That's what I said.
Now, to go with the book, you're doing DVDs now.
I am. I've produced the first three DVDs. They're in the process of getting ready to be mastered. One's a dynamic workflow. The other is how to black and white to replicate film. And then the third is how to image harvest, which is to replicate the way the human eye sees things. And they all address workflow and how to organize images. And they're kind of unique in the fact that you actually see me work on the screen as well as having the screen grabs, and you can hop back and forth from both of them.
Do you include any of the files or any other information that's included on the DVD to work along with what you're doing, or is this just a straight recorded deal of Vincent doing his magic?
No. I would like to believe it's a recorded deal of me doing the magic, but the deal is you're going to get the actual high-resolution source file. So the actual file that was used to produce the image, the base image, plus a file of the actual file that was the outcome of the DVD when it was done. So you got everything. It's like basically just add water.
Oh, you're kidding. So you can basically just follow right along through the tutorial from start to finish.
You can follow along start to finish. The plan is, this last one I'm not too sure if we can pull off, but the plan is to provide, watching me actually do it, having the screen grabs where the images are zoomed, it plays on both DVD and computer, that we have done. What I want to do is create a low-res QuickTime movie that you can download onto the computer so that after you watch the DVD, you can actually watch the QuickTime while you do it. You're going to work with the actual high-resolution source files that start at 16-bit, plus have a 100 PPI file of the actual file that has every layer and every step so you can compare it to the DVD and actually see what was done.
Wow, you got to make it iPod compatible. I mean, that's...
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's an iPod compatible, and we can podcast it.
MPEG-4, just use the higher resolution MPEG-4, and that would be perfect because, with the high resolution, you get about 512 by something rather. That kind of resolution, you can look at screen captures, and you can also watch it on your iPod. That's a good...
Well, you know, I think that that's something I will do, but I have to get this thing out.
We're just trying to make more work for you.
Yeah, like I need more work. just pile it on. I don't have enough hours. There's not enough hours in my day as it is. Let's go into, like, alternate universe time.
Now, Vincent, how much are these things going to cost? And I think you have an introductory deal, don't you, going on?
I do. If you pre-order, because they're going to be out in about 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to sell them for $44.95. And if you order before... They're all released $34.95. You can go to my website if you're keen on that.
And that website is? Tell everybody so they can check it out.
That website is www.versacephotography.com.
Yeah, and you have some really nice examples of your work on that site. It's just beautiful. I mean, a lot of celebrities. You've done some amazing stuff with natural light.
Well, thanks, mate. We just redid the site. It's sort of like a piece of art in progress. There's some more stuff that's going to be on there where I'm going to try and start writing, you know, thoughts and tips and stuff so that you can see how to improve workflow and how to address getting your voice in the picture, which is my focus, I think, is working with people to do that. But it was fun doing the website. It was painful but fun.
It is a beautiful site. Now, let's talk about the Epson Print Academy. You also teach the Epson Print Academy.
Why, yes, I do.
You do, in your spare time.
Yeah, and so again, then I'm leaping tall buildings in a single bound on the weekend and being a part-time short order cook. But aside from that, you know, I'm doing the Epson Print Academy every Saturday for this year and into next. The next one up is in New York, and then after that's Washington, D.C.
And then in between those two, you're going to PMA.
That's right. I'm going to PMA, and then after that, I'm flying to Crescent City to teach with Moose Peterson on a digital landscape workshop. I think I will be home a sum total of 3 days in the entire month of March.
Which you have to go photograph a bunch of celebrities and do all the other stuff.
The kicker of it is I have those 3 days are booked and I have about 10 people screaming at me. And it's just sort of, if we put some more days in the month? I mean, I'd rather not have the alternative problem, but it's interesting. It'll be an interesting month of March.
Wow.
Talk to me in April when the smoke is coming out of my ears.
Now, tell us what you're doing at Photoshop World. What's up with this gig? Is this the same old Photoshop World, or we got anything new happening, or what's up with that deal?
Well, I've had a couple of epiphanies and breakthroughs in black and white conversion. So one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to show off how to replicate the film actually captured a digital image, and how to set that image up and to do a two-step development process. Another thing I'm going to be showing is how to cause color to act like a shape, so that what happens in an image is you can remember the color over the shape, because the eye's tendency is to remember shape over color. And just, you know, stuff. Give out the Vinny, you know, have a good time, cause trouble.
Cool. Now, tell us, you use all Nikon gear.
I bleed black and yellow.
You do. what do you think of the, have you had a chance to play with the new D200 yet?
I have the new D200.
That's a
nice camera.
How did you get one?
Nice camera.
How does it? I know it has better autofocus than your D2X. So, but the D2X is about 2 megapixels more. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, I carry both of them. The D200 is the one that I tend to be carrying with me when I'm not in the studio, and the reason is the weight of it and the battery life. Because I didn't mention that you carry the camera at all times.
Vincent, right? We got 20 seconds. How do we get a hold of you again so they can find out all information about what Vincent's up to?
Go to my website, VersaceFotography.com, and that's how you find me.
Cool stuff. You can look forward to hearing more from Vincent here on Inside Mac. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. That was the legendary Vincent Versace. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the official printer of the Inside Mac show, Printing for Less. If you want to have some great stuff turned out quick, fast, and efficient from any file known to man, you can send it to them and they'll print it. It'll look great. Check them out, printingforless.com. Right now we're joined by our resident music guru and king, Peter Kern. How you doing, Peter?
Very good. How's it going, Scott?
Good. So tell us, you have the Mac Music News of the Week. What's happening in Lando Mac Music?
Well, I think the big news for Pro Tools users is that DigiDesign will be supporting those new Intel Macs. They're going to do it by May, and that's for Pro Tools 7, their entry-level Pro Tools, and M-Powered, which is the new version of Pro Tools that runs on most M-Audio audio hardware.
Wow, but when will all the third-party plugins be available?
Well, the good news is the same time.
Oh, really?
If it's one of their plugins, or if it's one of the plugins that they distribute through their site, which, as you know, covers most of those third-party plugs, those will also be available in May. Now, this is for RTAS and Audio Suite. They're not yet supporting their HD systems.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Well,
I know people that
the computers don't yet. Their answer is, well, the computers don't yet.
Oh, yeah, but I hope at least the port isn't available. So many people live on those HD systems.
Absolutely. So if you have a Pro Tools HD system, you're kind of waiting for a new Intel Mac anyway, because we don't yet, unless you guys know something I don't, we don't yet have a Power Mac, or whatever they're going to call it, with an Intel chip inside.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no machines with PCI Express slots that will even support the new HD machines that are based on Intel. Of course, if you have a PowerPC-based Mac, you don't care about any of this. so you can just run with what you've got.
Now, how do you think this whole transition, Peter, is going to affect the Mac musician going forward with the Intel-based Mac? Is this going to be actually better in the long run, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's absolutely going to be better in the long run. Short run, it's not so much that it's going to be painful and that the transition's going to be painful. The apps are coming out, and that's all terrific. It's going to be kind of expensive because you're going to have to buy these upgrades, and, you know, if you've got a lot of music software, it's going to add up. So
yeah. You know, I mean, I have a friend of mine that's he's in the Film Academy. He's done a lot of pictures, and his thing about rack-mount equipment is that rack-mount equipment, you don't just keep – you buy it once. With Pro Tools, you keep buying it over and over again, every upgrade.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other reality. I mean, it's especially expensive for people using the DigiDesign platform. If you have the older hardware, if you have a Pro Tools 6 system, you're completely out of luck. You've got to get the new Pro Tools HD system to be able to run Pro Tools 7, and you have to have both of those things to be able to run on the Intel-based Macs. So it's pricey. Now, it's a little better if you're an M-Audio customer and you have one of their much cheaper little FireWire boxes. And if you're still committed to the Pro Tools software, then you run M-Powered on that. It's a lot cheaper to upgrade. But it's going to be expensive for the pro users, and that I know that hits studios hard. I mean, that's the reason why a lot of studios are still on
OS 9.
Mac OS 9, yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of studios that are still on 9 just because they don't want to spend $5,000 on Pro Tool plugins to upgrade to 10.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the plugins just don't exist anymore. You know, some of them were never transferred. So that's another reason. So it is tough. I mean, you know, that's why as they go to Intel and systems and whatnot, they may be scrambling.
Well, it's life in the fast lane. If you want to stay on top of technology, you got to get the checkbook out, brother. Peter, your website, how do we get more information on what you're up to and all the news that you do daily on Macintosh Music Technologies?
That would be createdigitalmusic.com.
Peter Rocks, check his site out. He's got a brand new book out, too. You can find out all that new information at his site at createdigitalmusic.com. Or if you go to osxfaq.com, you can see the daily updates from Create Digital Music right there on the front page and link back to all his great stories. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OSX FAQ. If you want all the coolest daily Mac OS 10 tips, Unix tips, design tips, news from Mac Minute, Create Digital Music, all the latest stuff from Apple, check it out at osxfaq.com. So, Brad.
Yes.
I want to talk today for a few minutes. I want to talk about chroma keying.
Chroma keying.
People don't know. Explain what that is.
What that is that, say, for instance, you ever dreamed about doing some kind of like putting your kids or someone you know inside of a different environment or a background? Say, for instance, you want to put them inside of a movie. You know, you have some home DVD or something like that, or you want to basically put them inside of another scene. And what a chroma key allows you to do is basically it just masks off. You can basically put a person against a particular background, and the camera will change the background into something else. So you just have the person in front of you, and then the rest of it is just filled in with whatever kind of scene or something else that's going on. It's a long process that's been around for many, many years, but it's something that you can do at home if you have the right type of software. You know,
have you seen any provisions inside of iMovie to actually do keying?
You know, I haven't explored it that much. I don't really think maybe there's a plugin somewhere that can allow you to do a little bit better keying. What really happens is that most of the cameras, the consumer cameras, and here's the big, big, big problem. Most of the consumer cameras, they have full resolution when it comes to black and white. So the black and white portion of the image is full res. It basically fills the entire screen. But if you looked at just what the color information that is available, which is the part that the chroma key sees, it's basically a fourth resolution. So it's a very small postage stamp of resolution in color compared to the amount in black and white. But of course, you know, when the two images are put together by your television screen, it looks all uniformly and looks like there's colors there. But when you start doing things like chroma keying, because the way chroma key works is that a background is put behind the subject or behind the thing that you're shooting, and the camera, or say, for instance, photographs this, the computer or the chroma keyer is going to look for that color in the image and try to replace it with something else. Now, the problem is that, well, that sounds very, very, very simple. But the problem is that the color is very, very low resolution. So what happens is that behind the person, or say, for instance, on the person's face, you're going to see a lot of little jagged lines because it's because of the fact that the color is all low resolution. Now, you can get around it. There is some special software that you can find that will do a better job of interpolating or upscaling the color information to do a little bit better chroma keying. Those are available from places like in the past, called a place called DV Garage, which is Alex Lindsay's company, and some others. There are some good plugins that can basically take these consumer cameras and do a little bit better chroma keying on them. But of course, the best way to do it is, you know, use a higher resolution camera that has much more higher resolution color. But you can still do it. So if you are looking around and this is something you've always wanted to do, look around in if you have Final Cut Pro, look around for a third-party plugin that can do a little bit better keying, a little bit upscaling of the color. And they're quite nice. So you can get by with it. And of course, the other thing about it is that if you are going to deliver this on the web, then you don't really need to worry about it, because one of the things that happens is that when the image gets resized to a smaller size, say 320 by 240, a lot of these artifacts do go away. So right. You may not see it.
Well, that's when we get into that whole 411, 410, 422.
But just when you go from high res to low res, then some of these problems with chroma keying do go away.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cool stuff there. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Colin Finley on. He is a Kingston Icons of Photography. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you have cool content on a DVD that's MPEG-2 and you want to pull it off and get it into Final Cut Pro, iMovie, anything, you need DVD XDV. You can check them out at DVDXDV.com. Right now we're joined by Colin Finley. He is a Kingston Icons of Photography member, and this is a brand new program that Kingston's put together with all the gurus of the photography world. How you doing, Colin?
Doing great, Scott. How are you?
Good. So give our listeners a background. Who is Colin and what do you do?
Well, I've sort of made currently I'm doing a lot of advertising photography, and I transitioned from the world of photojournalism and documentary. So today brought me to that sort of cutting edge of where digital has emerged from film, and a lot of my photojournalism was all film. And all of my advertising work, a lot of what I do now is almost all digital, so it's a kind of interesting tradition of taking one extreme to the other, and now I'm also, you know, jumping back into, I just finished a 10-day job with Vanity Fair, so that still brings me back into that world of editorial and magazine work as well, so sort of juggling both worlds at the moment.
So have you gone 100% digital now, or do you shoot anything on film anymore?
Well, ironically, this last job I just did for Vanity Fair was a feature for the magazine. They generally prefer the features to be in film. That's been about one of the only interesting, you know, jobs that I've done besides the Jerry Lee Lewis sessions that I did. That was in film as well, simply because that's what the client requested.
Did it feel like you were basically going back to, like, you know, primordial? You know,
it really did. It really did. And I, the number of times I looked at that back, just in case, just to confirm, it's like, okay, it's not there. It's not there. It's not there.
Now, Colin, when you were shooting with what, a Hasselblad?
No, it was with the Mamiya for the medium format, and I just did all the film stuff. That was all 35 film Tri-X, always shot for 15 years.
Yeah. So tell us about this. You've been chosen to be one of the Kingston Icons of Photography. What's this whole program about?
Well, it's a conglomeration of myself and six of the photographers. There's Doug Kirkland, Barbara Bordnick, Peter Reed Miller, Chris Rainier, Harry Benson, and Gerd Ludwig. So they've chosen about seven of us who are sort of independently out there in our own worlds, whether it's with Geographic, whether it's with what with Peter Reed's doing with Sports Illustrated. So we've all just been, I think, chosen from different facets of the photography world, and they've put the the seven of us together, also to provide online just ideas of tips and techniques to photographers. I think that was a really great idea of what they put together. So all of us, I think each of the seven of us are going to walk through on a one-month basis. We're going to rotate just what it is like being out in the field, certain ideas, certain techniques, certain things you can implement for other photographers who are coming to the site, and also getting information from the other icons and myself about what's going out there and how to put stuff together.
Well, now you shoot, you come from the film world and you've transitioned to digital.
Yeah.
So you are already very familiar with techniques that you can, that can work in both worlds. What about, you know, black and white photography is one of those areas that is so tough to do digitally. Do you have special techniques and things that you do to get people to say, okay, I'm a black and white film photographer, and that's, I stay in black and white. Now, how can I go back into digital? I mean, and
well, yeah, that's what was interesting that I frankly struggled with for probably 3 years until I finally just working through, I just thought the visualization of what I wanted to do in black and white. And I was just going to sit there at the computer working with color balance, working with levels, working with curves, working with a lot of different just techniques that I've learned throughout the years, and just, you know, until I finally come up with, wow, this is it. This is what I could do in film, and this is what I now have in digital. And that was the first time. That's me working with this for 3.5-4 years of digital. Finally, in black and white, crossing over, saying to myself, this I could not do in film. This is where I was, you know, feeling really happy about what it is I'd done there.
Wow.
Colin, do you share any of your knowledge and your thoughts with other people? Do you do any kind of conferences or special photo shoots in correlation with any magazines or any stuff like that people can come and learn from you and share information?
I know I'm doing a couple of upcoming lectures, and I know in the fall I'll be doing, probably going through 12 or 15 different universities and colleges. And I just did a lecture at FIT as well. So a lot of times I'm really trying to work in that university and that school program, if you will. There's also a project probably that I'll be doing in November. I'm going to be doing a workshop down in Argentina. It's a project I've already done a few times before down on the Gauchos out in the Pampas. So that's something I may be able to working with probably 10 or 12 down there. So I think that'll be an interesting place where I'll shoot both color and black and white.
Oh, fun. Now, do you ever attend any trade shows? Like PMA's coming up here next week in Orlando. Do you ever go to these things and check out the new gear, or you're just so busy that you don't have time to deal with these marketing guys?
Well, sometimes I actually integrate a lot of what it is that I do. I was out at PPA in Austin with Kingston, and then I'll be at WPPI in Las Vegas with Kingston as well. So I'll be sharing a lot of my photographs in those formats and talking to people there and answering people's questions. It's something that I really integrate into my career, something that I love to do, something that I love to give back to the people and inspire people in whatever way that I possibly can. And Kingston's, putting me in a situation where I can do that at some of these trade shows, which I think is great.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You're using Kingston technology for their memory. How does this differ from other stuff you used? And is the stuff fast and it works good for you? And what's your normal workflow when you're shooting digital on? Do you have a bunch of cards, or do you back up stuff to a computer? And what do you use, and how do you do it, or all that stuff?
That's like 2 hours.
I use 10 of the 2 gig ultimate flash cards, the 100x. So that's pretty much, I have them all listed 1 through 10. I start every day at 1, and I end every day at 7 or 8, or sometimes 10, and I may end up recycling them through. All of that I'm going to work with, laptop computer, and everything's going to be saved onto the desktop. At night, I'm going to be putting it onto a portable hard drive, and I'm going to be putting it onto DVDs, and that's pretty much when my night ends. If not, I'm also putting it onto these small little Mego flash drives that I have like the 1 gig and 4 gig with those.
Now, what software do you use to pull off your images from? I'm assuming that you shoot RAW.
I shoot RAW plus I shoot JPEG. So some of the situations, like with the job at Vanity Fair, or with some of my other clients like Ocean Pacific or Kodak, I'm going to give them the entire set of JPEGs, so that way they're not going to be too overwhelmed with in terms of opening up RAW files. Then I'll make a specific edit myself, or I'll even put together a PDF like I did with the last job.
Yeah, but what software do you use to actually do your workflow with?
It's all in Adobe, so it's all being brought in, and it's all being processed in Photoshop.
Have you looked at like the new Lightbox software from Adobe?
I think they just came out with a beta version of that, if I'm not mistaken, I think here in January up in San Francisco. So I haven't had a really good chance to play with it, but I think I will actually out in Vegas. I'm going to meet with some of the Adobe people out there, and I think we're doing something and definitely get a chance to work with them.
Lightroom. I misspoke. Lightroom. I was going to say Lightbox.
Yeah, well, it's like a Lightbox.
It's like a Lightbox. Yeah,
Colin, what are the kind of gear do you like to shoot with when you're shooting digital? What kind of cameras, bodies do you like to use? Do you mainly stick with 35mm SLR style, or are you with a bigger format? What do you like to use?
I definitely stick with the 35mm SLR style. That's pretty much in terms of what I'm trying to capture are those.
Are you Canon or Nikon?
Canon.
Ah.
So you're using the Mark II?
One DS's,
yeah. Beautiful camera.
Very nice camera. Full frame sensor, really great camera.
Yeah, I think it works out great. And then, depending on the certain projects, I'll end up, I think it's really the best in terms of what it offers. I mean, some clients will ask me to do something completely different, so that'll be mostly dependent on them and their needs. As I said, one of my clients, Ocean Pacific, was the first one that basically kicked me into the world of digital.
Oh.
They basically said, look, you got 3 months to figure this out. Our next big ad campaign we're shooting in Hawaii, it's going to be digital. So I was at that point, it was all film for me. The last big ad campaign I shot for them was all film, but...
Did you have metering issues? Because one of the things about digital is that you have to really think differently in the metering. It has less dynamic range of film.
Yeah, it has less dynamic range, and I really backlight the heck out of most of my stuff. So it gets a little bit, it definitely took a while to get used to. Luckily, after you've done 30,000, 40,000 frames in digital, then, you're having an idea of what you're seeing on the computer. What I'm actually shooting, live and in that spot where I'm going to have compensate here for a half stop or a full stop, or I need a better front fill with this. So it's...
So lighting really becomes much, much more of an issue in digital.
Yeah, especially because I came from shooting so much black and white, then it was just a transition from not only to shooting a lot of color, it was also color digital. Because I'd done so much of my career is based in, black and white, probably 15, 17 years, so it's all been black and white film.
Wow.
Colin, is there anything you miss from film?
At times, it's ironic, but I miss, and this is because I've worked on some movie sets as well with some great directors, and sometimes and they're doing some of their films in digital or some of their films in actual film itself, the film stock, and sometimes it's the unique depth of field and the perspective in terms of where I'm standing in terms of the fall off of the background, whether I'm at 2.8 or I'm at F4, and when I'm in digital... I even had to learn that there's something, because what I do is a lot of soft front focus, or I'll do back focus, and the front is going to be really soft. In digital, I'm going to have to move 2 or 3 feet closer to get that similar effect that I would have achieved in film, which is interesting to me.
Hey, Colin, hold that point for 1 sec. We're coming to a break, but we want to finish at the bottom of the hour here, so why don't you hold on for a few minutes. We'll be right back here with Colin Finley. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a light heart at all things Macintosh, and right now we're here with Colin Finley, the legendary photographer and one of the Kingston icons of photography. Now, Colin, before the break there, you were talking about what you missed about film.
Yeah, it's just one of the interesting points is just the depth of field, as strange as that might sound. And even looking at some of the context sheets that I just did from this last job, so it's just there's that softness that is really difficult to achieve in terms, because I also shoot a lot wide open, so I'm dealing with some of those issues as well, and I love that soft palette.
Well, I thought that if you're using a digital sensor that's full frame, 35mm,
right,
that the depth of field would be the same, and you're saying it's not.
Well, for me, it's really different. It's really unique in some of these situations, and the DP and I got into this exact same situation on this film. It's like, God, it's like the depth of field carries so far on these cameras. He goes, yeah, it says this whole film, we're shooting at probably 2.0 to 2.2, just to have a bit more of a filmic look. So even him and I were, you know,
but then talking to the your lens starts getting, you get more and more what's called chromatic aberrations the higher you have to open up that f-stop.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's just finding that space that, you know, I like to sort of, and I mean, I shoot a lot wide open, so I shoot a lot with fixed focal, very fast lenses. So that's kind of where I like to, you know, that's sort of the space when given the opportunity I like to exist in.
Wow.
That is cool.
So, I don't know. It just depends. It's like all the, you know, it's just like I've always used the same film and always used the same camera equipment, the same type of lenses. So I just like to find something that just really works for me. Find something that works all the way through, and that's another one of the odd things about Kingston is at least, you know, I'm running their memory in my CPU at home. I'm running their cards. It's, you know, so it's just, it's a whole, that's sort of like what I...
You suddenly just, every Kingston has become a big part of your life.
Yeah, definitely, and I'm really stoked about the lifetime warranty. I mean, that means a lot to me. When I'm off in Indonesia someplace, and, you know, it's a little bit of security. It's a little bit just like with my Tri-X film. It's like, I know this film. I know what it's going to do. I know what it's going to look like backlit. I know it.
Wow. It's security. You know, it's good stuff.
You've got to have that. There's so much on the line with some of these jobs.
Yeah, if you have a failure, and you know, you don't get paid.
No. And it's really, there's just absolutely zero room for that.
Colin, do you have a website? I know we have the Kingston site we're going to give out here, but do you have a website, your personal one, where people can find out more information about what you're up to, maybe places where they can come see your art on display and speaking and that kind of stuff?
It would just be www.colinfinley.com.
Wow. That's great stuff. Hey, Colin, I really appreciate being with us today. We appreciate you coming on, and we'd love to have you back again talking about all the great stuff you're working on.
Yeah, I got a half new book coming out in another couple of months, so I'll be on press in Italy, so maybe that'll be time to come back.
Yeah, that'll be great. Colin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Scott.
That was cool stuff. You can check his website out, like he said, at Colin Finley. That's colinfinley.com. Or go to Kingston, kingston.com/digitalmedia/IOP. For the icons of photography. There's a bunch of stuff there about Colin's work, and he's just a great guy.
Oh,
cool stuff.
Wow.
Doing beautiful work.
Amazing stuff. Yeah, you really have to check out his site. He's got some, I mean, obviously, this is an amazing photographer that we are talking to. He really
one of the icons, man. Yeah. Check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a great show today. Like I said earlier on, we had Philip Hodges on talking about the digital post-production news. We had Andy Shallot doing his Mac design out-of-the-box tip. Sam was on doing his cool Mac picks. We had Richard Harrington from NAB and FMC talking about post-production world coming up here at NAB. We had the legendary Vincent Versace on earlier in the hour, the king of digital natural light photography.
Natural light, yes.
Peter Kern was on talking about Mac music. Myself and Brad, we talked about Chroma Key in a bit. And we had the legendary Colin Finley on, one of the Kingston icons of photography. Cool stuff. You can check all that out at InsideMacRadio.com, or you can cruise on over to iTunes and grab that at iTunes.com, or launch iTunes on your favorite happy little Mac there. Next week, we'll be coming to you live from the Flash Forward Conference 2006, live from the Seattle Convention Center downtown. You can check out more information with live shows being posted daily to iTunes at InsideMacRadio.com. I've been Scott Shepard. He's Brad Wright.
Yep.
And we've been Inside Mac. Check it out. We'll be back next week with more cool stuff.